H-Z-Go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Saints.
B.S. and B-Boys. I love this podcast.
There he goes. He loves the podcast. Welcome in. Another week, another edition, the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live at the SEC Sports Pub. With me, as usual, Tomas Mauricio.
Here, President of Concord.
I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. Mm-hmm. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information from Ruston to Monroe and all the places in between. Grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and Sports Talk 97.7, BS and Beer style. Tomas, merry week after Christmas. It's still that holiday period. Did you get everything you want? Did you get that G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip that you've been talking about?
Everybody been Kung Fu fighting.
Yes. Yeah. No, didn't get it, huh?
No, I didn't get it.
They're still next year, buddy.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I'm sure you got some sophisticated bottle of wine or something. No? You beyond the whole gift-giving thing?
No.
Because I noticed I didn't get a gift from you.
Well, but you know how it is. You know, when you poe, I don't even have the last O or R. It's just poe.
Just poe, yeah. That's listen, sooner or later, these guys, you know, we start off with the ESPN money.
That's right, and now, it all went away.
Now we on to the sports talk. It's inevitable. Sooner or later, we're going to hit it.
I'm waiting for that first check.
Waiting for the first check, yeah. Me too. As soon as they get it, you'll get your 10% cut of it.
All right, sounds great. 15 cents is good.
We got all kinds of cool stuff
going on.
Is that
a $5 bill? That's
your favorite. The $5, you know, yeah. Everything, man. You $5. Slide them an extra five, you get a seat closer to the bathroom.
There you go.
That's
right.
Yeah, we're good. So, all right. So, I got a few interesting things to talk about.
That'd be it first.
Is that where we're going already? We're just getting started. Listen, injuries to Kakaha and Armstead. Kakaha was coming on, had a pretty decent game.
He
made some plays.
He was playing well.
Armstead, this is becoming a reoccurring theme, but it seems like every time Breeze throws an interception, the way that Don Bobo punishes him by one of his offensive linemen getting hurt. So he needs maybe no more interceptions. Let's try it that way. I don't know if it's that easy. We're going to talk tons of NFL playoff scenarios that include the Saints. Should be super interesting. I mean, there's so many of them. I have it generates different playoff possibilities.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We have every possibility, probably not enough time to go through all of them.
All right.
But we'll go through the most probable ones and the interesting ones.
Is Cleveland
ones.
Including that?
Cleveland, hang on. Nope, yeah, I ran the numbers. Right. Nope, no, I'm getting word now that Cleveland is not involved in the playoffs. Right. Yeah, the chances are zero, eliminated.
All right. How about the Cowgirls?
Cowgirls, hold on a second.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Despite all of Michael Irving's ramblings all weekend long, the return of Zeke Elliott.
Yeah.
Is that right, Zeke Elliott? Did I say it right?
Right?
Don't sound right. Maybe he's been gone so long it just didn't ring. Yeah, they didn't make it either.
Ezekiel.
No, they're out. Ezekiel. What did I say?
Zeke.
Yeah, you know, that's how I do. You know, I make cool nicknames up for people.
So, poor little Michael Irvin.
I mean, geez.
And the Cowgirls are staying home.
Just gets on my nerves listening to that guy.
Makes me so happy. Go ahead.
There are other games
that,
to me, are interesting in the NFL.
There's only one interesting game to me, but go ahead.
No, and I mean, the most interesting game. But we do have 2 hours to cover here.
Yeah, all right.
And there's so much stuff. Now, listen, it just can't be about all Saints because.
But you know me, I can speak for 10 hours about just the Saints.
I feel you. Right. But we're gonna touch on a couple of things.
All right.
The Bucs. The Saints play the Bucs next week.
Him.
You know, we didn't even point out that the Saints come off of a 23-13 victory. Over the Falcons.
Woo!
The thing is, man, I got to tell you, you were there. I was so stressed out.
I know you were.
I mean, I was
taking
worried.
Taking your pulse. Look at my pulse, Tomas. Look at my
I was,
like, dude.
I was talking about it for like 2 weeks. I'm like, we're going to sweep the rest of the games. I'm confident after the Saints lost on Thursday night to Atlanta. I'm over there talking about how we got. And then, man, it's like a couple of days prior to the game, these different shows, they're showing the statistics.
Oh, yeah.
Atlanta's ranked number one in this category, number two. And I started getting nervous, man. I'm like, seriously, I'm like, oh, my God. They
well,
ranked
Ramon, I got to say something about the show, so go ahead.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. Now, here's one I found interesting, the Bucks. The Bucks played Carolina, and if it wasn't for some stupid things that went on, they could have beat Carolina.
They could have.
And the thing is, I remember, I don't know, we started talking about this about
did
three.
Did you hear an interview after the game?
Which one?
With your boy, Donkey Boy?
With Cam Newton. No, yeah. No, what specifically?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I had a little hard time in this game. No, I just having a little hard time. I couldn't find my balls. I mean, the balls. Oh, my.
I mean, okay. Is this where this whole show's going to go? Or is
I can't help it. The man, look, he's rolling on the ground as if he'd been, you know, hit by, I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
John Cena? I mean, I don't know, you know.
So I played, this is a long time ago, but yeah. I played 2 years of minor league professional baseball in Italy, overseas.
Yeah.
And one of the things that just astounded me, that's how the Italian, I think it just comes from the whole soccer thing. But, I mean, two guys are, like, trying to, you know, run down a fly ball, and they both standing underneath it, and one of them calls it, the other one calls it, and they bump into each other. One guy catch it, then they both throw it into second base, and they both fall on the ground and start rolling around. And then everybody from the benches come out, man, and they'd run out there and start giving them water and stuff, and neither one of them step out of the game. And I'm just like, I get it. I didn't get it back then. I didn't understand the whole
now,
soccer
Cam
thing.
Cam stepped out.
No, did he come out of the game?
Yeah,
just the whole thing of just – When he got racked in the gonads.
That's right.
Yeah,
hit him high.
Can you say that on radio?
Gonads go. Yeah.
Can you say that on the radio?
Sure. Why not?
Is that one of the FCC rules?
No.
The words?
I don't think so.
No. Gonads. No. Okay.
Gonads.
Okay.
I think are okay.
Gonads are okay.
Harry,
okay.
Something
wait,
else.
Wait. I'm getting word.
That.
I'm getting word.
Yeah.
Gonads are fine.
Gonads
yeah. Okay.
Are good.
Gonads
right.
are in.
There you go.
All right. So yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah. So he. You know, so what, they pour some water on it like they do in Italy during the baseball games and everything was good to go?
I'm just saying, he made it out to be like he had been hit so hard that, you know, he changed from being a tenor to a soprano. But, you know, he's back a few plays later. And
okay, so here's the big game.
You know, if you're wearing a cup.
Right.
Now, I got hit in the cup by a baseball. You talking about baseball?
Baseball.
Yeah, you know, playing shortstop. I didn't see the ball because the guy broke from second base. The ball hit me right in the cup.
Uh-huh.
Passed out.
You just fell out on the field right there.
Cracked
done,
the
right?
Crack the cup. That's how hard this guy hit the ball. I mean, it was a screaming
I mean,
fly ball. I mean,
Tomas, I could see you, like, this is what you probably saying back 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah, I was
about
16.
So I could see you at 16 with that big mustache that you have. And
oh, no,
you know,
clean shave.
No, that's not the way I see it, though. In my mind, I see it. And then all of a sudden, you just, the close-up to your face, your eyes cross. You're like, ooh.
Exactly.
And then just.
Well, imagine. You know, I'm playing shortstop. The guy breaks from second base. I hear, snack. You know, I hear the bat hit the ball. But just as the guy gets past me, I had no time to react.
Right, right.
Boom. Right when the, you know. In the gonads,
yes.
Right. Crack the cup.
I've already got verification. It's
go.
Okay.
There you
now,
go.
Anyway, I don't know how this conversation got there. I'm trying to talk football.
I'm just saying.
And, you know, you're talking
that's
about
a
cups.
Different kind of hit than the one your boy took.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So, here, look, while we still have time in this first segment, Philadelphia, Monday night. Did you check out that game at all?
Yes, I did.
It was horrible. Okay, Bubby Brister.
I was going to say.
Bubby Brister.
Boy.
Yeah, you know what? And he's apparently, I got a little crap from somebody on Twitter who lives in Northern Louisiana. And he's like, you talking about the pride of Northern Louisiana?
That's right. Yeah,
I was like, oh, I tried to back out of it. I'm like, no, I'm just saying. That's the first name that came to my mind. And he's like, man, I'm just kidding. I'm like, all right, I can make my jokes now. But Bubby Brister, it was terrible. I mean, he couldn't convert. Now, listen, the Raiders aren't a horrible team, but they're no more than an average NFL team. And if you can't do better than that with the weapons that Philadelphia was supposed to have.
Well, they have one lockdown corner, and that's who locked down Alton Jeffery.
Okay.
So then he had to look for everybody else. But here's the problem. You know, he doesn't have that same kind of mobility that Wentz has.
Wentz is just a
beast. And he doesn't have that clock in his head. I can't tell you how many times he stepped back and I said, throw it, throw it, throw it, throw it. Boom, he got hit. You know, so, yeah. Yeah. They're vulnerable, but we'll talk about it when we get to the playoff issues.
Yeah, when we come back in the scenarios, we're going to talk about it. But, boy, at this point, I'd love to see the Saints head up to Philadelphia week two of the playoffs. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Tomas Mauricio with me today. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Time to groove tonight. It's just been celebratory the entire season, Tomas.
Yes, sir.
Couple exceptions. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew here on Sports Talk 97.7. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero. We are the BS and Beer crew. We're talking Saints all day, all night. This is what we do. It's all we do. It's like what the Terminator said. You remember that line? It's what he does, man. It's all he does. No?
I know.
No, don't remember. All right. Anyway, so we have
obscurity.
Tons of Saints.
That's our word for today, by the way.
Obscurity?
Obscurity.
Should we just write it down now because we forget? Because here's the thing. Matter of fact, let's talk about this a second because I understand that there's somebody. I don't think that we really need to do or go over the pick'ems today, so I just thought that it's just not really something important. We got all kind of other important stuff to talk about, Tomas.
That's fine. But remember that if you're going to apply to win the game of pick'em, you have to have the majority of the code words.
Well, you see, really, I was trying to get one of our followers.
Yeah,
he told me to tell you that we wasn't going over it today because apparently you moved up into the top.
That's correct.
Where are you at now? Number one. Oh my god.
That's okay, but I'm saying because I'm ineligible.
Yeah,
I understand. I'm just doing it for grins and giggles.
Yeah, right.
But whoever is going to be the winner must have a majority of our words.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if you incorrectly pronounce the word.
The one particular one?
That's correct.
Yeah.
If you say it the wrong way, you're automatically eliminated, even if you know all the other words. If
you know me and my memory, but I can remember that one. Harassment.
That's correct.
Harassment.
That's right, because you know what it meant.
You know what it meant.
That's right. Right.
So I tell you what, you want to jump into the good and bad and ugly right now? All right, let's do that.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for good and the bad and the ugly.
I tell you what, Atlanta comes to town. There's a lot of good, not a whole bunch of bad and ugly, but I think we'll find something.
I think so.
I think you're still searching for your Tomas rant.
Yeah.
Your rant
still,
today.
Still thinking it through.
Yeah, and so maybe we'll find something that might fit the criteria.
Could be.
So you want to start off?
Sure.
Let's hear it.
All right. Here's my good. We have had so many injuries. Our defense has had a number of injuries, and I said there was one fellow who had to step it up at this game. I said it before the game. And he did. I mean, he had a hell of a game. So today, my good, Manti Te'o. He played. I mean, the man really played. And I appreciate the kind of passion he played with. You know, this team seems to be very, very close-knit. And you could see that every time he made a great play, the other linebackers who are in further down the pecking order there, like Marty and the kid, I can't think of his name now, Hodges. Right away, they came off the sideline and congratulated him for the great game he had. And so that would be, to me, the standout on the defense and my good. I know a lot of goods I got to pick, but I tried to pick one that was a little different.
You know what? I don't know what it was. About midseason, we said, well, you know what? Let's start trying to pick the goods that are maybe a little less obvious.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I think that's a great good. Manti Te'o, okay. What we lost in Klein. Now, I'm starting to realize I like Klein, but maybe I didn't quite, I don't know, maybe he was coming off an injury. Maybe he's progressed throughout the year and continued to improve. But, I mean, I liked him prior to this, but also like Klein. Klein's a more athletic linebacker. He's not quite the run stuffer. He's not the brute that Manti Te'o is. But I tell you, they bring in Manti Te'o and on your first down, your running downs, your running situations. And, man, he's made plenty of plays.
Yes.
And now he's the starting linebacker, and I don't see – my point is nobody's really been able to take advantage of what is supposed to be his weakness, which is pass coverage. I mean, matter of fact, was it 2 weeks ago that he almost picked off a pass? He dropped it, but he was 30 yards downfield, maybe if not more, and he got his hands on a ball and ended up dropping it.
I think part of that is what you had mentioned before, and that is when a defensive line can keep the linebackers clean, then they play a lot better. And that's what's been happening.
Absolutely.
You know, we may not have 700 sacks back there, but the consistent pressure from the middle of the line and the outside, the consistency of it, has kept the linebacking crew pretty clean.
Well, so I'm going to go ahead and give you my good.
All right, go ahead.
Which is different, but yet the same, at least involves the same guy, is our short yardage run defense has been outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
yeah.
A lot of it has to do with your good. And so, but that was what I already had in mind. There were three different situations. We had two goal line stops within the 2 yard line.
Yep.
One of them, we caused a fumble. You know, you might want to argue that maybe he caused his own fumble. But having said that, you know, that fumble's not caused if the Saints defense isn't filling the gaps and getting upfield
and
pushing offensive linebacker.
We had a butt interception and a butt fumble.
That's right. We had a butt fumble too. But the butt interception, that's a category, a segment to itself.
But
and Manti Te'o has a lot to do with it. But, you know, Craig Robinson, again, we talked about this when Anzalone went out. Robinson is a very solid NFL linebacker. His problem is he's not super athletic. And, again, pass coverage. But I even said it back then when Anzalone went out is I thought, you know, hey, we're going to lose something in pass coverage, which is a big deal. But we actually gained something in physicality. And so now we do have two inside linebackers who, while they aren't the most athletic guys, and maybe that's not even fair because have you seen anybody really just say, remember last year the Redskins game? And the Redskins just screened us and short passed us in the flats to death. And all that was safety and linebackers that could not get out there and make a tackle.
Oh, you had Kruger. That's right there.
I don't know if Kruger was out there covering in the flats and covering the screen game.
He couldn't cover anything.
Well, he wasn't doing anything. I agree with you. But having said that, our linebackers, our safeties were very well.
Look, even going back down to Robertson and Te'o, that's still better by far than what we had on the field last year.
No, absolutely.
You know?
Now, okay.
So, I mean, if you look at it that way, you know, they're a step down from Anzalone and Klein.
I agree, especially Anzalone being a rookie.
Yeah.
Had he been in the game, had he not gotten injured and been playing this entire time, can you imagine where he would be right now?
Yeah.
He would be an extra 30% better, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I saw, and maybe I just read this on the internet, maybe I was on Saints Report and read it, but someone pointed out that they said the Saints – have lost 9 of 11 starters.
Yes.
And I was like, no, that's not. And then I forget about guys like, man, it seems like a long time ago that Nick Fairley went out with injury. And he was a starter. You know, maybe it couldn't have been 9 because I know there was
I think it was 7 out of the 11. I don't think it was 9.
Yeah, because right off the bat, I'm thinking Williams at safety. There was no one who was penciled in as the safety because you're talking about the two corners are different. But who went out? Bro went out. Okay, so that's one of them.
You had Bro. Now you have Anzalone's out.
It couldn't
Klein.
It couldn't have, yeah.
Those are four starters right there.
No, absolutely. I didn't really write it down, but my point is.
And now Vaccaro's out.
Vaccaro's
another
out.
Another starter. That's five. I want to say it was 7, but I just can't remember for the life of me the 7 that it was on there.
Yeah, one way or another. The point is that. You know, just we're losing these guys, and some of them weren't starters. Now, having said that, when you have a guy like Crowley who comes in for Bro, essentially, you know, that was the swap. Right now he's the starter, and Bro's out. I mean, hey, you don't lose a whole bunch, but that says something about our depth, man. But having said that, where would we be right now if we'd have all of our starters? Where would we be right now if Fairley was still available and playing like we assumed he would play? Based on his performance last year.
See, I don't think Fairley would have been the difference maker. To me, the difference makers are the two linebackers, Klein and Anzalone.
Absolutely. There'd be a difference.
I think those would be the two. If we had those two still healthy and playing in this game, you know, I'd feel a heck of a lot better, you know, going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, you just have that athleticism.
Because, actually, to tell you the truth, I really feel, and I know he's my guy, but I really feel like Crawley's playing better than Bro played the last time he was on the field.
Well, no doubt about that.
And now, he played outstanding the first time. Bro played outstanding the first time he was on the field, but it wasn't long term. I mean, it was a very short example, you know. To me, we've had Crawley now 2 years. his improvement is like incredible.
Well, and you can watch it. You can see the improvement.
And now, I put him against anybody right now.
And bro took a step back now due to injury. But the problem is, since his rookie year, he's been injured consistently. And that's the same argument people make with Armstead, is that, man, he doesn't look like the dominant guy he used to be. Well, it's because he's fighting through injuries constantly.
Sure,
now,
sure.
You can defend him and say, well, you know, he's been on the other hand, he keeps getting injured. So, like, he was out with a pectoral, was that in offseason? Well, now he's out because of a thigh muscle.
Quad.
A quad. So, my point is, it's something different. And
He's had shoulder. He's had knee. He's had now the quad. He had something else. There were four things that he's banged up. They're four different things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
so it's like,
pretty
good
much
Lord, man.
Head to toe, man. Yeah. He's banged up. But, you know,
but he's a warrior. I mean, he keeps coming back out there.
And I feel you. And it's just, boy, you'd love just for an off season where he comes in, gets completely healthy, gets on the field, and just other than bangs and bruises.
See, and here's another example. So Pete comes in and plays left tackle. You know, he's speed wise, he's a step slower than Armstead.
Right.
Okay. But, man, you watch this guy, he's pancaking people left and right.
He has become a dominant force in the run game.
So, to me, I'm happy with what we've got. I'm a little concerned of depth on the offensive line.
Right, right.
You know, but...
Now, here's the thing. I would expect, just the way it's been going, I would expect Armstead to miss the game against Tampa Bay.
Yep.
And Pete to play the left tackle.
Yes, I agree.
And then, come playoff time, we'll have another shot at a full original offensive line. Now, that's assuming no additional injuries, because we've had that problem. You get one back, one goes down.
Well, then they're beat up. I mean, Ramchek was limping.
Yeah.
At the end of the second half of the game, and I haven't heard a word about it, but he was definitely limping in the second half. Kelemente was playing hurt already. So, you know, that's why I say to you, I'm a little concerned. We signed the guy for offensive line. Last week, I can't think of his name, IKEA or something like that. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, they're good couches over there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we called up Tom, right?
Right. He's been inactive,
But he's a center guard kind of guy. The other guy we signed is a guard tackle kind of guy. I don't know. I'm a little concerned about offensive line, but we'll see.
Well, and I think, you know, like they say, this time of year, everybody's banged up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember if it was either Rams or if it was Philadelphia. One of them lost an offensive lineman, a starter, for what probably will be season-ending injury. And
I think it was the Rams.
Was it Rams?
Yeah, because the Eagles already had lost their left tackle.
Yeah, left tackle. And this guy, I think they might be his starting right tackle. Yeah. They may have lost for the season. Yeah. So, you know, at this point of the year, everybody is banged up. Yeah. And it's just something that, you know, everybody's dealing with. And really, you know, man, I tell you, when I was a kid and I'm watching – Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson and Dome Patrol and Stan Brock and all these guys. I don't remember all these injuries. And I guess, and you know, these guys keep getting faster and stronger.
I was going to connect it for you with the horse business. You know, years ago when you were running race horses, they were built a different way. And so they'd run 40 races, 50 races. Now today, you got these little toothpick leg horses. They run like the wind. You know, but they're not going to run for a long time.
Right.
You see them getting hurt all the time. And so it's the same kind of thing. You can only, the human anatomy can only go so far. You know, and I mean, we've pushed it. I'm pretty sure we've pushed the human anatomy about as far as it'll go.
Yeah, well, and you know, until some type of medical something or another catches up. Because here's another thing. I remember back in the day, you get an MCL, you're done. Your career was over. I mean, they would have to come in there, man. They would cut you from the mid-thigh all the way down to your ankle and rip you apart. And you got one of those, too? Yeah, raising your hand?
I tore a cartilage when I was 19. And that was the job that the doctor said. He said, well, your first choice is we cut you from the middle of your calf all the way up to the middle of your thigh. We peel you open. We'll kind of get the little pieces out of there. You know, you might be better. You might be worse. But you have arthritis no matter what. I said, what's option number two? Well, we put you in a cast for 6 weeks, and then we do a physical therapy. I said, I'll take option number two.
I'll take number two, Jack.
I don't want my leg to look like Frankenstein.
Well,
today, of course, if I go get it fixed now, it's two holes on one side,
right. And that's the thing is now technology has improved. Having said that, I'm you'd be naive to say that we've gone as far as we can go at anything, because I'm sure 40 years ago.
From medicine, I don't say that. I'm saying anatomically.
No. And I understand that, but the point still remains that we've pushed ourselves physically where we can't be any stronger. And I just don't believe any of that. And two, right now, medically, we'd have to improve medically to be able to keep up where guys can get injured and we'd be able to get them on. Like, again, I started saying the knee. You blow out a knee back in the day, you were done. Now if you blow out a knee, you know, like there have been guys who've been back in like 4 months. Yeah. You know, so the point is that medically we have to get, and we probably will. So at some point, I do agree with you. I'm just saying that everything's going to continue to improve. But right now, it just seems like we're so physically peaked out that there's not much else we can do, and that's why these guys get injured. They're too strong for themselves and too strong for the other. Collisions
are too
violent.
Well, that's why they need to get on a TB12 diet. But that's another story.
What, are you selling a TD? You didn't tell me about a new endorsement?
A TB12. Tom Brady 12?
I've heard a couple of jokes about it. I didn't realize that was going on.
No, he really has his diet. It's being sold over the internet.
No, I know. He has a book.
Breeze follows it.
Breeze has one too.
Gronk. No, they follow the same with TB12 kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so I'm like, well, that's not good for them.
I might have to get on that myself.
Not me.
Though.
I'm not giving up bacon.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Tomas, Mauricio, Dave Romero. When we come back, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, 97.7.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free. The BS and Beer podcast. All right, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero here, and on the line, we have him with us every week, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, welcome in after a long Christmas break.
Thanks for having me, man. It was good, dude. Little man got everything he wanted. I got me a new smart TV, some new cookware, because I'm a chef down here, so in my household, so... Good.
I see that on Twitter. You show those pictures, man. It looks like some good stuff. I'm going to have to come down there and have you make some of that Cajun food for me.
Yeah, you might leave a couple pounds heavy, I'll tell you that much. Yeah,
Cajun food is good for it. Speaking of being a little heavier, man, Atlanta goes home. I feel we controlled that game the entire way. The Saints, I was a little nervous going into the game. I can't lie to you, John. I was reluctant. I was starting to look at, man, statistically, man, Atlanta is a good ball team. They're talented. We know they are because they went to the Super Bowl last year. So when we had that little, week and a half in between games, a lot of doubt started creeping into my mind. The Saints removed all doubt.
Yeah, we talked about it last week that I think the biggest thing that was scary to me or what I wanted to, was concerned with is how the Saints matched up against Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, because you lost AJ Klein and Kenny Vaccaro, but look, the defense rose to the challenge. They got pressure on Matt Ryan. More importantly, they got him down. You know, Julio Jones has a big day on against the Saints secondary, but at the same time, when it mattered most, the Saints held the Falcons to a field goal and they stopped them in two goal to go situations in the red zone, and then on offense, they had all the makings. I mean, same story. They didn't convert anything but field goals, but they cashed in right before the half after the buttception by Marshawn Lattimore.
The buttception.
Huge difference. Controlled the momentum and the time possession. So huge, huge victory for the Saints.
Yeah, matter of fact, those were the things with Kenny Vaccaro and Klein being out, done for the season, both of them. I was a little concerned. Now, I've always liked Manti Te'o, but more in the run game. Man, I tell you, he came up big, and it didn't seem like his presence in the defense, not only did it not seem like a weakness, it was a strength.
Yeah, Manti Te'o and Craig Robinson, I thought they had both had really good games. And, something I thought that was missing that we were accustomed to seeing with A.J. Klein in the mix was, timing the snaps and then coming in on a blitz. And Robertson did some, Manti Te'o did some. That's a really good sign for Saints fans, because I thought that would be a missing element for this defense once Klein went out. But look, you got to give Te'o some credit. He played with a lot of fire, a lot of passion. Looks more and more like that was a quality pickup for this team. And, you just can't say enough good things about what the front line has been doing. George Johnson, a guy off the street, hadn't had a sack since 2014. Now he's sitting with, what, three now in two games? So, look, give them credit. They're finding the guys when they need it the most, and they're getting the contributions when they need it the most.
Yeah, to get a guy off the street with the ability that Johnson has shown, Now, again, I'm not trying to turn him into the next Pro Bowler, but having said that, this late in the year, you find a guy that can contribute much less, put pressure on the quarterback. That's found money. That's gold that you just found sitting there and nobody else wanted. It's incredible.
Yeah, and look, I mean, today they picked up Tony McDaniel. I don't know if that's a move for John Hughes or who it might be for the implications, but again, another veteran guy coming in here, has playoff experience, obviously, and I think that's going to help this team, without getting on too much of a tangent. Sean Payton told us in the press conference that, guys have been hanging around, like a John Kuhn. Zach Streif spoke at the team meeting the night before. Alex Okafor has been around the building. So this Saints team has really got a lot of the leaders and guys that necessarily aren't on the field, but making their impacts felt throughout the team.
I'm talking to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, this past Monday night, we watched Philadelphia play Oakland. Now, Oakland, they have their moments. They're not a horrible team. They're not a bad team. They're probably middle-of-the-pack kind of guys. They've struggled this season. But I tell you what I saw from this Philadelphia team, they look like a one-and-done team without Carson Wentz in the lineup.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see because, look, the Raiders' defense isn't that great, and Philadelphia comes out with a win, but I don't think they played particularly well. And Foles followed up his performance from the week before with a mediocre one, I guess if you want to call it that. And look, I feel like if you get a home game at Philly, that crowd, much like the Superdome, is really going to help them out, you would think. But right now they look pretty vulnerable in a way, and I think Minnesota, I've said it before, I still think they're the team to beat right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I wouldn't have said that, although I have a lot of respect, and the reason I present it that way is because it's something that they've earned from me through the course of the season, because at the beginning of the season, I didn't think they would be a great team. I thought they'd be a solid middle-of-the-pack team. But right now, with the way that Philadelphia is playing, and there's no doubt in my mind that, once Carson Wentz has turned into, and you can only appreciate it when he leaves, right? He's one of the best quarterbacks in his second year in the entire league. Once he left, it's just not the same team anymore. And I feel like the Saints, the odds are that the Saints are going to have that fourth seed, which means they'll be traveling to Philadelphia. And the prospects of that, to me, it just kind of makes me happy.
Yeah, and look, this is where my belief is, and we've talked about it many times on the show, is this is where the Saints are scary as opposed to other teams, because now you've got a talented backfield in Philadelphia. The thing is, Nick Foles is not Carson Wentz, or he's not Drew Brees, not even in the same category.
Right.
So teams are going to kind of key up on the run with the Philadelphia Eagles, and Foles is going to have to beat you more in the passing game is what I feel like, whereas the Saints, if you have that happen where you key on Kamara and Ingram, Brees can find targets, he can figure out and stretch the field and do God knows what with the football and the passing game. And look, I think on the road, the Saints have yet to be a team that has shown up like they did against in Buffalo. So I think they got some question marks if they hit the road. But at the same time, if they hit the road against the Eagles, I feel pretty good about that matchup too.
Now, the other thing is the NFC South. It looks like, and you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong, if Atlanta beats Carolina this coming Sunday, then that means you're going to have three NFC South teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's correct. So it all hinges if Atlanta wins, regardless if Seattle wins. If Atlanta wins, they're in. So Carolina is definitely in no matter what. So it's really between the Seahawks and that Falcons team for the last spot. And then you've got all sorts of scenarios. I think it's like six or seven different scenarios for the Saints on how they could either be three, four, or five. So it's crazy. But, as we've talked many a times on here, Saints just need to take care of business and let the other stuff play out.
Yeah, I have no reason to believe they won't just because of how well the Saints have played this entire season. But one of the things that does concern me, about 3 weeks ago when I was starting to look at the entire picture, I made jokes about Tampa Bay, and I was saying that they'll have the moving vans already loaded up by week 15, week 16. They have played two consecutive games against good teams in Atlanta and Carolina, and they have played them to the wire. So it concerns me a little bit that these guys aren't ready to go home yet, that they still ready to play some football.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not playing for Dirk Cotter, because I have a feeling that he might get cut loose at the end of this year, and, you know, one of the first coaches that goes on Black Monday or whatever you want to call it. And look, the Bucs have been in the games. They've had some almost wins, and they just can't finish for whatever reason. And look, Sean Payton, you know, when he spoke in the press conference, he said point blank that, look, we'll savor this for 24 to 48 hours, but we're going to have another football game on our hands, and our focus is on winning. So hopefully his team, and they should, come ready to play. If they can get out front early, which I think is the best case scenario, then they'll start pulling out some of those starters and rest them up a little bit.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. If Tampa Bay would have found a way to pull that game against Carolina, and again, I say these things and I hope I'm completely accurate. If Tampa Bay pulls out the game against Carolina, the Saints are resting starters this week because they would be all but guaranteed the fourth seed, and they really don't have much opportunity to move up to the third seed. So this is a situation where, especially with two more players, to my recollection, going down, you had Kakaha and Armstead injured yet again, or at least hurt.
Yeah, those two for sure. And I think John Hughes was the other guy. That's why I think they might have got McDaniel. But look, Armstead has been a fierce competitor. But, you know, this has kind of been a common theme all year, is that Armstead has just not been able to put it together or stay healthy. I say he's been solid when he's out there playing well and playing through injuries and adversity and all that good stuff. But look, I would suspect that they're not going to try to rush Armstead on the field against the Buccaneers in a game where, well, you know, we're already in the playoffs. But so I wouldn't be surprised to see if Pete plays at left tackle and they just kind of figure it out from there. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Armstead. But, you know, we should see him on the injury report. And as far as Kaká, I think that was a late one, so I don't know exactly what happened to him.
Right. Well, as soon as we find out, because he actually, Kaká actually had a pretty good game. And, you know, it's encouraging that he played well, discouraging that our depth has just been just eroded away from top to bottom at that defensive end position. And, you know, once you think you're down to your last guy that is a solid contributor, well, he goes down too, and then it gets a little bit discouraging. John, thank you so much for coming in and spending some time with us. I'm glad to hear that you and the family had a great Christmas, and we're going to talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, bud. Have a happy new year.
Take care. John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, he's at the games, he's in the locker room, he's in the press box, has all the good insight. Matter of fact, you can get in touch with him at John J. Hendricks on Twitter. And matter of fact, you can hit me up at Twitter at SaintsBS. Matter of fact, you can always call us on the graffiti hotline, 701-901-1295. Leave a message. We love hearing from you guys. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen, Tomas, I got the coolest Christmas gift ever. Now, I saw it on TV one time, and I thought to myself, man, if I just had the motivation to actually get out the credit card and call this number and buy it, I would get it. Next thing you know, I'm walking through Sam's Club.
And there it is.
And there it is. It's called the Bug Assault. All right, so it's like a little plastic shotgun, and you fill it with salt. And then when flies fly around, you can shoot the flies from like 4 feet. Now, and if like you think about it, like, okay, the salt, it's not like sugar. It's not like bugs are going to accumulate to. So you shoot and you get salt all over your house. But at the end of the day, you just wipe it off the counter and you move forward. But you get to blast these. It's awesome. So here's some of the things it says on there. It uses ordinary table salt. No, this is a real deal. No batteries. 80 shots before reloading. It won't splatter the fly. And then it says on here, fire your fly swatter. See the play with words there? Fire Your fly swan? You see? Okay. Bug assault? Okay. Anyway, dude, I cannot wait till summer. The flies around. Just get one of these right here. Yeah. Bam. Anyway, best gift I ever got. It's cool. I mean, I cannot. Dude, the flies drive me crazy. I cannot wait to sit in my chair and blast some flies. I mean, I don't know. I feel like a kid again.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
I like shooting, so, I mean, you know, it's not a problem for me. Anything I can get that's similar to, you know, discharging a weapon, I'm good.
And I hope that they don't do some Second Amendment stuff and make me lose my bug assault.
Well, it could be. You know, I'm sure that those
All right, so what we'll do is we'll move on to some football talk because they didn't pay us to. I just telling you about my gift. They didn't pay us to advertise for them, but I'm telling you.
Not getting any endorsement money.
And, you know, I got to see how effective it is. Now, because I was curious.
Now, see, if it's effective, then we can put it on our new web page when it comes up.
No, exactly. Now, I didn't even know we had one, but when we do.
When we do.
Yeah, when we. Well, I had.
I think it's Heath's job.
I had Lena shoot me. From about 3 feet.
Yeah, and I'm sure she was like, ooh.
And it stung like hell. Uh-huh. I didn't think it. Now, having said that.
Did she shoot one time?
Just one time.
She controlled herself.
Yeah, she did. She probably would have just said she didn't, you know. Anyway, but I had a big old whelp, and I'm sure the salt didn't help. So I know that it's going to take care of some bugs and some bugs. Flies. So I have no doubt. I'm excited about it.
That's better than that little strip that I hang up.
Yeah, it was nasty, man. Now this, you know, and it says, I read on the package, it won't splatter the fly.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand how that would do that.
Like, I don't know. It just looks like it's just going to knock him down.
How are you going to still be alive then?
I don't know. I mean, you know, like if you're very strategic with the fly swatter, you don't smash it. You just kind of, you know, it's in the wrist, like a, you know. And then you just kind of.
Here's the way I do my flies.
With your fingers. Gotcha. Got you there, Mr. Miyagi. All right, listen, let's get back to some football talk.
All right, let's get back
to it.
But
still,
we already did the good. Ever. That's a pretty cool present.
Yeah.
Not quite a paint gun, but that's okay.
No, that'd be fun
paintball
too.
Paintball gun, yeah.
But that'd make a big mess in the kitchen when I'm shooting flies.
Yeah, but you can get all the same color and you could paint the kitchen at the same time.
You know what? That's where you're on a different level, Tomas. Yeah. All right, so now it's time for the bad. Go ahead and give me your bad.
Well, you know, it was hard to find a bad, really, to tell you the truth, but I found one. You know, me being me, I found one. Third down conversion.
Yeah, been a problem all season.
Man, fourth down, we're like 100%.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, what the hell with third down? Don't worry about it. We just go for it on fourth because we're good as goal on fourth. But third down. Now, you know, we've somehow managed to continue, you know, 8 wins in a row, then a couple more afterwards. I mean, but sooner or later, this is one of those areas that really worries me because when you get into the playoffs, you need to have those long drives, you know, to assert yourself onto the other team. So I'm a little concerned, but the bad to me was, statistically, third downs aren't looking too good.
No, that's a concern for me going forward. Yeah. And you know, I mean, it's just like we are creating third and shorts.
We can't make them.
And we're not converting them. And you know what? You made this point. I don't think it all has to do with this, but the lack of a viable tight end is a problem. You know, I'm just a safety blanket kind of guy that, you know, I mean, you would hope that even Josh Hill could.
A guy who can go down 3 yards, button hook, you hit him, and you know he's going to box out the guy behind him and won't be able to get to the ball.
Right, right, right. And, you know, a lot of that takes the big body guy, and quite frankly, we don't have that. Josh Hill, listen, I like Josh Hill. He's not a bad ball player. He's a good receiver. He's not a physically, he's a 240-pound guy. You need that 260 guy with the big booty that can.
Now, you know, the word is that during the offseason, we're going to be converting our third-string quarterback into a tight end.
Into a tight end?
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously he can play everything.
Yeah, he can do everything.
You do know that he played wide receiver in the game.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Well,
I
got to look this. Good I gotta thing look you have me here.
That's why I keep you around.
That's right.
All right. So, I tell you what. I have some Drew Brees audio from his post-game press conference. Let's listen to some of the stuff he had to talk about. So Drew Brees passes the 70,000-yard mark for his career. Now, the only guys he's behind, there's only three people who've ever done it. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre. He's only behind Manning 1,940 yards, which obviously next season he'll surpass that, be the number one of all time in total passing yards. Let's see what Drew had to say about it.
It's an incredible honor. To have had the opportunity to play long enough to see that happen. Again, so many people are a part of that. all the guys that blocked, all the guys that caught them, all the coaches that put together the plans to make that happen. So everybody shares in that.
Now the Saints have locked up a playoff spot. Drew Brees talked about what it feels like to be a Saint and being back in the playoffs.
You know, it feels good, but honestly, it's the expectation, you know, and so while I guess it feels good to clinch a spot, it's not the ultimate goal. You know, the goal, first and foremost, is to win the division, and we have an opportunity to do that next week with a win in Tampa. We know that's going to be an extremely tough task. They're a very good football team. They're a divisional opponent, so we're going to have to be ready for that game.
About 2 weeks ago on the Thursday night game, Alvin Kamara got knocked out of the game with a concussion. Let's see what Drew Brees had to say about Kamara being in for the entire game against the Atlanta Falcons.
Listen, Alvin's a game changer. He's a playmaker. Obviously, he had opportunities in both the run and the pass game today. Had a big play on the first drive. You know, he's just a great complement to our offense and what we do. But, yeah, obviously, nice to have him for the whole game.
Let's hear a little bit more about what Drew Brees thought about Alvin Kamara and what he brought to the team.
I mean, listen, you know, you're kind of changing up what you're doing with him and trying to get favorable matchups or put him in space. And, you know, he did a nice job of, you know, just getting open, getting, you know, us getting completions and just making that part of the drive, moving the chains. No, it's, I mean, that's exactly what it is. He always seems like he's having fun, and he definitely has a swagger to him. And, I mean, he fits in great with our locker room, and him and Mark, man, they got a great, you know, relationship and just rapport and just kind of that 1-2 between the two of them. Both of them, you know, have that kind of that, like that smile that just, you know, you know how much this means to them, but also just, man, they want to have fun and they care about their teammates, and you know, they're big time players that have made big time plays all season long.
The Saints' defense caused a huge turnover right before halftime. Then Drew Brees hits Ted Ginn, long touchdown, just a huge play, momentum shifter right before half. Let's see what Drew had to say about the long touchdown to Ted Ginn.
Well, you know, felt like we had the opportunity to take a shot, and you know, felt like we caught him in a good matchup situation. You know, with Ted kind of running across the field, and we were able to cash in, but that was a huge play, huge momentum, you know, point in the game.
Well, that's Drew Brees, Tomas, talking about Alvin Kamara. You can obviously see the change, the difference that Alvin Kamara made in the passing game and in general. You know, last time we played Atlanta, he played less than a series.
Right. And when you hear Drew talk about his accomplishments of having reached the 70,000 yard, so forth, you can see that Kamara was an integral part. Right. Of that. But I would say to you, it's everybody, because Ingram's catching the ball, you know, as well as Kamara. And the problem we have is we still haven't found Sneak. Could it be
secret
that
weapon
this week,
secret
the
weapon.
Secret weapon will be Secret Squirrel?
Hey, hour number two, we're going to touch on that a little bit. We have all the scenarios. Don't go anywhere. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer podcast crew.
Hey, don't forget to download and listen to hour number two. And if you like the podcast, don't forget to like us, friend us, follow us, and let the rest of the world know that we're out here. We appreciate you guys.